Such a blessing to be back with my brothers and sisters tonight. It's good to see you all at this middle week service. I appreciate the opportunity to stand before you again tonight so we can study another portion of God's Word. I also appreciate the prayers on my behalf and the strength I receive from it. And it's my prayer that something said here tonight as we continue this study over the life of David, that you're getting useful information you can use throughout this Christian life, that you can find ways to apply characteristics of David's life to your life. And that's the reason we're doing this study, is about the life of David, is so we can find these certain characteristics to use. And like I've started the rest of this series, we're going to look at the book of Acts, and David is described as a man after God's own heart. If you look in Acts, and we'll read chapter 13, verse 22, says, "When he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony, and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." So this is why we're going over this study. This is why we're looking at David and his characteristics, to know why he's described as a man after God's own heart. And since he is described as a man after God's own heart, how can we be described as a people after God's own heart also? In the previous studies, and the most recent one, we've looked at a few things. We've looked at Nathan prophesying about our Savior, Jesus Christ. We looked at David's sin with Bathsheba and then him having Uriah killed. We looked at Absalom killing his brother Amnon. We also looked at Absalom betraying his father and the king David, and David's forgiveness after this. And we also looked at Absalom being killed in battle and David's mourning after losing his son. So this is where we're going to pick up about the life of David. And the first thing we're going to look at is this is right after Absalom is killed, David decides to return to Judah. This is his homeland where he was born in Judah, so he decides to return there. This comes from 2 Samuel in chapter 19. And I'm not going to read this chapter, but I'm going to paraphrase it for you. If you have a chance, it's very good if you can go and read this chapter. You can get a lot more details than I'm able to tell you tonight. So if you have a chance, go and read this 2 Samuel chapter 19. So this is right after Absalom was killed. He decides to return to Judah. It's his house. It's where he's from. And while he is on the trip going back to Judah, he runs into a man by the name of Shimei. Now Shimei, he has run into him before in a few chapters earlier. And we'll read about him in 2 Samuel chapter 16. So if you've got your Bibles or if you just want to read on the screen, 2 Samuel chapter 16, and we'll read verse 5 and 6. "And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came, and he cast stones at David, and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left." So this was a few chapters earlier, this was before Absalom was killed, that David and his men were traveling down the road, and they passed by a man by the name of Shimei, and this man begins to curse them and cast stones at them because David was the king. Shimei was the house of Saul. Well, when David is returning to Jordan after Absalom has been killed, he's returning, he runs into this man again. Now, most of us might suspect that Shimei is going to curse him again and cast stones at him and stuff like that, but he didn't do that. And all the men with David were urging David to kill Shimei for what he had done. But nevertheless, David chose to forgive Shimei for this thing that he had done toward them and toward his men by casting stones at them and cursing them. David chose to forgive him of that. So as he returned to Jordan, or across Jordan to Judah, there became a jealous rage between Israel and Judah. Basically, what had happened was Israel felt like David loved the people of Judah more than he loved the house of Israel. They were jealous of Judah. If we look over in 2 Samuel chapter 20, and we'll read the first two verses. So 2 Samuel chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. "And there happened to be a man by the... There happened to be there a man of Belial, whose name was Sheba, the son of Bichri, of Benjamite. And he blew a trumpet and said, We have no part in David, neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his tents, O Israel. So every man of Israel went up from after David and followed Sheba, the son of Bichri. But the men of Judah clave unto their king from Jordan even to Jerusalem. So this man by the name of Sheba, basically he was just causing problems. He goes to the men of Israel. When David is returning to Judah, he goes to the men of Israel and says, "See, David here, he loves Judah more than he loves you. We have no inheritance in the house of David. He comes from Judah. So of course he's going to love Judah more." This man by the name of Sheba, he was just causing problems. And he caused the jealousy to happen between Israel and Judah. So like we have studied before, Israel turns once again from God's way, and they turn from David, and they follow this man of Belial by the name of Sheba. And when Israel followed Sheba, it seemed apparent to me when I was reading through this that it didn't really bother David too much. And after studying a little bit further and realizing that David really wasn't too bothered that much that Israel was not following them anymore, we can look over in Psalms chapter 118 and verse 8, we can see why. Over in Psalms chapter 118 and in verse 8, it says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." David didn't put his confidence in man. He didn't put his confidence in the people of Israel. If they left him, he was going to be okay, because he still had God on his side. No matter how great or how small of a kingdom he was over, he had God on his side and decided to put the trust in the Lord instead of the trust in these people who decided not to follow him. Well, shortly after this, Sheba is killed and Israel decides to follow their king once again. So Israel is now following David, and the next thing we're going to look at is when David has his last battle. And once again, it is against the Philistines, which they seem to have a lot of battles against the Philistines. This will be David's last battle as king. If you look at 2 Samuel chapter 21, and we'll read verse 15 through 17. 2 Samuel chapter 21, beginning in verse 15. "Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel, and David went down and his servants with him, and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. And Ishbibenob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. But Abishai, the son of Zariah, succored him, and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David sware unto him, saying, Thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel." So this is David's last time on the battlefield. He's out on the battlefield and he almost gets killed by this giant, who is a relative of the giant that he killed, Goliath. He almost gets killed by him. And the servants of David tell David, it's better that you leave the battlefield and go back to the palace so that you don't get killed. And the reason they say that is so that it will not quench the light of Israel. Basically, it won't let the wind out of their sails. So everything is going good for Israel when they have God on their side. But they know that if their king is killed, it's going to be devastating to them. And more than likely, it's going to be so devastating, they may not be able to beat the Philistines because they're thinking about their king that just died. So this is what the servants are saying to David is, go back to the palace and be the king there. And it's better that you be the king instead of being out here on the battlefield. Now, David could have swallowed up with pride at this point, but he didn't, and he knew that they were right. If he was killed on the battlefield, it would quench the light of Israel. This also, to me, says something about David's character, that the men, the servants of David, were willing to die and give anything that they had so that David can continue to live, because he was their king and because he was a great person that everybody looked up to. He was a natural leader. Now, I think that there is a misconception in the congregation, in the church, about one point, about those who are advanced in years. This misconception, I think there is that those who are advanced in years, some people think that they're not useful anymore. And I think that this story about David speaks otherwise. Because just because David was advanced in years at this time, he was older. He was getting close to the age of around 70 or so. He wasn't a young kid anymore that could go on the battlefield. Just because he wasn't a fit soldier anymore, he could still do work for the kingdom. There was still something that he could do. So just because you're out of your prime for one talent doesn't mean you have lost all your talents. It just means you're in perfect prime for some other talent towards the kingdom. This is exactly what David did, was he found what he could do to benefit the kingdom the most. He didn't swallow up with pride and see what he could do to benefit himself, and he could have. He could have stayed because it was honorable for a man, especially the king, to stay on the battlefield and fight. That was honorable for them. He didn't swallow up with pride. He looked at what was best for the kingdom. And likewise, by doing so, he went and he ruled the kingdom out of the palace. So just like us today, whatever age you are, whether you're young or whether you're advanced in years, whatever it may be, there's always something that you can do to benefit the kingdom the most. And that's what we always need to keep in mind. How can we benefit the kingdom? The next thing I want to look at comes from the next chapter in 2 Samuel chapter 22. And this is when David is singing praises to God. So this would have been after the battle here, and he's singing praises unto God. This 2 Samuel chapter 22 is also Psalms chapter 18. We're not going to read this whole chapter either, but likewise, if you have some time, this is a great chapter to read, especially a motivating chapter. If you're feeling down, this is a great one to read and to lift your spirits back up. We're going to take a few key verses out of this and see what David's point was. So this song he wrote for the Lord, which is in Psalms 18 and also in 2 Samuel 22, the first thing he talks about is trust in God. He had complete trust in God, which we've studied about before, when he goes and fights the Philistines, when he kills Goliath, when everything David does, when he succeeds, it's because he has trust in God. So if we look at 2 Samuel 22, and let's read verse 3. It says, "The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence." Now go down to verse 31. "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him." David trusted in God with all of his heart. And likewise, we should too. This same God that is the God over David is the same God that we have today. And we can put our complete trust in him, and he'll never fail us. Which is the next point we're going to look at. It's about deliverance. That comes from 2 Samuel 22 and in verse 18. "He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me." Now go down to 43. "Then did I beat them as small as the dust of the earth. I did stamp them as the mire of the street and did spread them abroad. Thou also hast delivered me from the strivings of my people. Thou hast kept me to be head of the heathen. A people which I knew not shall serve me." When David had complete trust in God, the reason he had complete trust in God is because God never failed him. Anytime God said he would do something for him, if he would deliver him out of his enemies or deliver his enemy into his hand, he always did so. He never failed on his promises. Same with us. He's never going to fail on the promises that he has set for us. And likewise, since he will never fail on his promises and we can put complete trust in him, we need to thank him for this, as well as all the many other blessings we have, which is the next point. Let's go down to verse 50. "Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. He is the tower of salvation for his king. He showeth mercy to his anointed unto David, and to his seed forevermore." David sang praises unto God. And that's the same thing we need to do. We need to sing praises for all the many blessings we have. We can trust in God. He's going to deliver on those promises he has left for us. And we sing praises for that. And thank God for everything we have. Shortly after this, in 2 Samuel chapter 24, we have another point that David failed on. Let's look over and actually we'll look in 1 Chronicles 21. The story, it's about David numbering the people of Israel. The story comes from 2 Samuel 24 and is also re-recorded in 1 Chronicles 21. So let's look at 1 Chronicles 21 and read the first two verses. So beginning in verse 1. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, "Go number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me that I may know it." So David is commanding Joab to go out and number all the people of Israel. "I want to know how many people are in my kingdom. I want to know how many people I'm over and how big my army is, how many people I'm commanding." Joab tries to tell David this is wrong. If you look in 2 Samuel chapter 24, and we'll read verse 3. 2 Samuel 24 and in verse 3. "And Joab said unto the king, Now the Lord thy God add unto the people, how many soever they be, an hundredfold, and that the eyes of my lord the king may see it. But why doth my lord the king delight in this thing?" Joab was trying to tell David that this was wrong. It didn't matter how many people were in Israel, because the Lord was going to add a hundredfold whatever there was. If there was just a few people, the Lord's going to be with you, and it's going to be just like there's a big army. If there's a big army, the Lord's going to be with you, and it's going to be a bigger army. It doesn't matter how many people are in Israel. It doesn't matter how many people David had command over, because God was with him. That was the only thing that did matter. And that's what Joab was trying to tell him here. But nevertheless, David continued to have the people counted. So what David did here was, just for a brief moment, he put his trust in man instead of putting his trust in God. Because he was wondering how many people he had, so to know how big his trust he had in his people, it shouldn't matter. He should have kept his trust in God. David didn't listen to advice, and he chose to have the people numbered. Shortly after this, David immediately repents for his sin. As soon as Joab brings the number of the people back to him, David immediately repents. Can we see a pattern here as we're going through the life of David? We've read stories before, such as when he was fighting the Philistines. Anytime he counseled with the Lord and the Lord told him to do something and he did it, he was saved for it. He received blessings for doing so. Anytime he didn't counsel with the Lord or didn't seek counsel what he should do, then something happened. It was wrong. And David knew this was going to happen. He immediately repented from the sin of not trusting God. So God had to punish him. God offers David three choices for this punishment. And that comes from 2 Samuel 24, and we'll read verse 12 and 13. So beginning in verse 12, "Go and say unto David, Thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David and told him, and said unto him, Shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land? Or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies, while they pursue thee? Or that there be 3 days pestilence in thy land? Now advise and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me." So this prophet goes to David, and he tells him, you can either have 7 years of famine on the land, you can have 3 months where you're running from your enemies, and I'm not going to be with you, or you can have 3 days of pestilence, which is a plague. You can have 3 days of a plague in the land. Well, David chose this 3-day pestilence. During this 3 days, 70,000 Israelites died in 3 days. That comes out to almost 1,000 people every hour. So about the time we're here, about 1,000 people would have died. That's a lot of people. In 3 days, 70,000 Israelites died. Now, I was thinking about David's character and his love for the people and his love for the kingdom. This had to hurt David more than anything else. David was a very selfless person. He really cared about the kingdom and what was best for the kingdom. So this had to really hurt him. Now, if God would have done what he did with other men when they sinned, like Uzzah, for instance, when he touched the ark when it was about to fall, God struck him dead right then. If God would have done this to David and struck him dead right then, I don't think it would have hurt him as bad as him having to watch 70,000 of his people die. Because David was a very selfless person. So this was more painful than anything else that David could imagine. But nevertheless, during this punishment, David continued to stay true to God. If we look over in 1 Chronicles 21, And let's read verse 26. And David built there an altar unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and called upon the Lord, and he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offering. So even when David was being punished, and he was being punished by God, even when this happened, David stayed true to God. He knew that God was the answer to all his problems. So he stayed true, and he built him an altar. Now, how many times do we hear of people, when they think God is so-called punishing them, how many times do we see these people turning from God? If they think that something's supposed to be going good in their lives, and all of a sudden something goes bad, for one, they either say, well, God is just an evil God, and he's doing all this bad things to me, and they turn from him. Or another thing that they may say is, must not be any God at all, because if God is a loving God, then he wouldn't let this thing happen. How many times do we see this? I mean, we can all think of somebody that has probably said this at one time or another and turned from God. But David had the right attitude. Even during times of punishment, he stayed true to God, no matter what happened. And eventually, things turned around to go his way again. And he continued to stay true to God during those times too. So the application to this story is stay true to God no matter what happens. As long as you stay true to God, you'll continue to receive blessings. And yes, that can be earthly blessings that we have here as far as our spiritual families that we spend time with. But more than that, we know that we're going to have a heavenly blessing, which is going to outweigh any of the punishments that we may receive here. So during this fifth part of the series, we've looked at a few things. We looked at Israel turning and their jealousy toward Judah, and David's continual trust in God. We looked at David redirecting his work to benefit the kingdom and whatever he could do to make the most of his work for the kingdom. We looked at David singing praises to God and counting his blessings. We looked at David, for a brief moment, putting his trust in man and numbering Israel, and then quickly turning back to God. And we also looked at when he stayed true to God, even during his punishments that he had to receive. So I hope that there are a few applications here that we can take and use them throughout our lives, as well as what we have studied in the previous lessons. And I know we haven't talked about the first principles tonight, but if there are any who know the first principles, who know that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for your sins and was resurrected so that we may have a hope of eternal home with him in heaven, if you know this and wish to be baptized in his name to become a member of the kingdom, we ask you to do that. Also, if there be some who, from the applications we looked at tonight, or any other thing that you may need help with the church, we can help you with that too. If there be one of either class, we ask you to come and have a seat on the front pew as we stand and sing.